for listening to Weekend Debrief, a podcast of Grace Church in Dallas, Oregon, where we look back at the events and activities of the weekend in our church community and the world and talk about them in light of the gospel. Thank you for listening. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Dave. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be here recording another episode, episode 85 of Weekend Debrief. So we're creeping up towards 100.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to do something special
for
number 100.
We do. Now that we have like a whole, you know, half dozen faithful listeners, then it's time to do something.
That's right.
I was driving back to come record this after lunch, and I saw my parents bike riding past me, and so I waved, and my mom yells out, "Great podcast!" Hey.
There we go.
Every podcaster's got to have his mom as their biggest fan, you know.
That's
so,
right. Hey, we'll take it.
We will. Yeah. We'll take it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. No, it got back from South Carolina,
the yeah.
Harbor Network Lead Pastors and Wives Retreat. And
yeah, how was that?
Incredible time. Just every interaction we've had so far this year with Harbor has reinforced just how great a fit they are for us.
Yeah.
How like-minded, building more relationships. Just feel really good about that.
That's good. That's good. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this.
Yeah.
All right. So what was the most interesting person you met on the trip?
The most interesting. Ooh, that's a good question. I think it would have to be I said a little bit on Sunday, the couple that we sat on the flight with, going over. So James and Desiree, Westbrook, they pastor in Oakland, California. And, I think they were the most interesting because they have such a difficult and, different ministry context than we do.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're in the heart of the Bay Area.
Yeah.
They've run into just incredible opposition because of standing on biblical principles, especially mm-hmm. biblical marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine San Francisco area, Oakland mm-hmm. area, and the LGBTQ, movement there. And it's kind of, you know, one of the hubs, I think, of that movement.
Yeah.
It just seems from my knowledge of it. But yeah, so they, you know, were turned down rentals, building rentals, because the person renting the space saw their statement of faith and mm-hmm. are like, "Well, you hate people, so we're not going to rent to you." And even had threats of physical harm to James, the husband, and had to like meet with someone who had been threatening them. And just our interaction with them, they're, you know, pretty outgoing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sit down, and as quickly as I can get my noise canceling headphones on, I do. I was barely, you know, in my seat, and she's introducing herself, and I look over, and her husband's leading the couple next to him to Christ, and it's like, man, I'm a terrible pastor. Just really, really cool couple, and really just, we got to, you know, as long with them as anyone at the conference, because we had a two and a half hour flight, hear all about their church and context. Hobbies and all of that.
That's cool. Well, and what a neat thing to, I mean, not only, I mean, the bigger picture of having Christ in common, but then the commonality with Harbor Network and there's a vision for ministry that is the same. So, that's really neat.
Yeah.
That's
encouraging. So got to see them throughout the week and it was just, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Wow. And then they got to, they were friends with Jamal, who's the, and his wife, I think it's Amber, who he's the board president for Harbor and a pastor of Sojourn Midtown, which we went
to. That was the one we were at.
Yep. Yeah. And so he knows the Beattie Anabwile, who is the main speaker for the week. And so the three of those couples hung out. And I guess the Beattie is a big spades player. It kept coming up when they were, when Jamal was introducing him, and that he is undefeated in multiple countries in spades and whatever.
Oh my goodness.
So, but I guess James is one of the guys they play. So they like had multiple rounds of spades, and we kept getting updates.
Yeah.
And so if the Beattie would get up, he goes, brothers and sisters, just want you to let you know, still undefeated in the state of South Carolina. And everyone would just, you know.
Oh, that's great.
So they were poking fun at each other the whole week, and yeah. it was great.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's see. And you have a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So
leaving Thursday morning. So the day this will post.
You're right.
I will be on a flight to Uganda.
Yeah. So, oh, that's...
Well, technically, I guess on Thursday, it will be to Amsterdam. And then at some point, the day turns over and we'll end up in Entebbe, I think, is okay. where I'm flying into okay. Uganda. And then Kampala will be the main okay. place I'll be. Right. So.
Well, looking forward to hearing
yeah.
stories and about that experience when yeah. you get back.
Appreciate your prayers. And yeah. you had a fun anniversary weekend.
We did.
25 years.
25 years.
25 is what? Like the silver or bronze yeah. or what? Go ahead and describe
I
your weekend.
Know that. Well, the weekend was good. It just a quick trip on Sunday and Monday over to the coast and yeah, even
silver is 25 is silver, 30 is pearl,
okay,
or ivory or diamond, 35th is coral, and the gift you give is jade. I guess there's a so you're supposed to give her silver. Did you give her any silver?
I'm working on it.
Okay,
how's that?
Good. Yeah, sounds good. And then 40th is ruby. I don't. This is just on Google, so I don't know how accurate this is.
Yeah.
Did you know? Okay, let me put out to you this.
All right.
Here. What is the platinum anniversary?
The platinum.
This is according to Cake Topper's website.
I don't know. Oh, Cake Topper's. Oh.
Yeah, the...
Yeah, platinum... 60?
70th.
70th?
60 is diamond.
Okay.
65th is blue sapphire. What do you think is 80th? 80th anniversary. Again, this is unverified, but this is Cake Toppers. Oh, in UK. So there you go.
Okay.
So I don't know if this, maybe I need a better resource. But go according to this website, what is the 80th?
Man, I would think if you've been married 80 years and you're still alive to enjoy, not meaning alive because of the marriage, but just alive at age, it's kind of, I don't know, something very practical, but probably not. Man,
you're on the right track.
Yeah, like I don't know what.
Oak.
Serious.
That's what it says.
Oak. Well,
I don't know. Symbolized by oak. I've seen this on a couple different websites now. Okay. So, yeah, platinum is 75th. Diamond, or no, platinum is 70th. 75th is diamond. 80th is oak. There you go.
80.
That's what it says. So if any of our listeners can provide a more solid resource than I'm looking at, go for it. But
I will be 100 years old if we make it to 80. Wow.
And you're a woodworker. I mean, that's just like built in.
I'm like, I don't. Okay.
Maybe you need to make something now and set it aside for.
Well, maybe. I'm thinking maybe oak, maybe it's kind of a morbid thing, like an oak coffin? Box. I don't know.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. Okay.
But you're 25th. Silver. However, we got on oak and 80th.
All right. Yeah. So, I'll talk more about that later on in the podcast. But no, it was good. Yeah. 25 years hard. It has gone by so quick. We were just reminiscing as we were driving to the coast and back of, like, do you even remember what we were doing 25 years ago, the 2 days leading up to our marriage and the day before and the day of and all that? And the really cool thing is that we actually celebrated our honeymoon in Lincoln City 25 years ago. So it was kind of neat to kind of be there.
That's where we went for our honeymoon, too.
There you go.
So 17 and a half years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, good weekend.
Awesome. Awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, now that we went on that rabbit trail for too long, we have a series we're in the middle of that we have kicked off since last time we talked. Mm-hmm. Old Testament stories.
Yeah, Old Testament stories, looking at some heroes of the faith and the heroes of the... obviously Christ is the main hero, but yeah, so we started off on Mother's Day weekend and talking about the tent peg.
That's right.
There was more to it than just the tent peg, but and then
that kind of sticks with you though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, with you, through you.
Through you, yeah. Yeah.
Really bad pun.
That was
dad joke.
That was bad. But it, I mean,
yeah.
What do you do?
And last week, this last Sunday, Pastor David spoke and Daniel and the Lion's Den. Daniel
and the Lion's Den. So that is one. I haven't, because we were gone Sunday, haven't listened to that yet, but looking forward to
it. You mean you didn't tune into our live stream on your anniversary weekend?
I did.
You're only at 25. What are you even doing?
I know. I did not.
Okay. Good for you.
I was.
I applaud that decision.
I was eating breakfast and getting ready to walk on the beach.
There you go. Awesome.
Yeah. So looking forward to getting into that. And then we have Samson coming up this Sunday. And then Memorial Day weekend, I'm looking forward to being able to share about the fiery furnace and some similarities between what David had preached on and that fiery furnace. So it's going to be, this is just a really good, really good series. I'd already heard back from a couple people that they're just excited to be able to dig into it and then be able to see the Christ connection in each of these stories.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great. What have you, so just the 1 week you've sat through, what are some things that you've learned, or maybe as you've even started looking at your passage, some unique things about reading, studying the Old Testament, what has stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just the reminder that sometimes we look at the Old Testament as just like it's a dusty old book of stories. And we fail to see how God was at work. Mm. I think especially like even looking ahead to the fiery furnace that it was evident that God was active in the life of the three men that made a stand for Him. I think in your sermon, the seemingly insignificant detail of the family that moved from one location to the next. And it's like, I think you mentioned it, it's like right in the middle of the text, like, why is that even included? Yeah. And then you see how that, it's just a reminder that all throughout time that there are no coincidences, that God is at work, and what seems like just a meaningless, random happenstance, circumstance, is not the case, and there is a reason for that. So, the Old Testament is so relevant, and to have that bigger picture of seeing how it all points to Christ, I think it's just it's a great reminder.
I agree, and I think you know, reading, studying, applying the Old Testament, it is unique because not every promise given is given to us directly. Yeah. Not every action is something that we should affirm or emulate. So it's deciphering between that, you know, what is descriptive of, you know, this is describing real history, real people, real circumstances. And then we can learn from what's being described and apply, you know, via other passages in scripture, or what's being prescribed that we must follow today, and making sure that we're like even Sunday, David made the showed that the fate of the leaders who tried to frame Daniel and get Daniel in trouble, that you know they and their whole families were thrown to the lions, and you know how dark and you know awful that was, and yet. Looking at, well, this was something that, you know, the king did that actually is, you know, would have been a violation of God's law and God's intent, but this man was not a follower of God. This is what the Persians did, not what God would have his people do. And so just even seeing that of, I think sometimes we read something like that and we're like, oh man, how could that happen? And it, you know, it seems so dark and evil and violent. And well, God did not condone that.
Right.
And so, and we are not to emulate that.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes I think when we teach these stories, especially the way that I remember them being taught when I was a kid on the flannel graph, you know, it was like cheering when the bad people got thrown to the lions. Well, women and children too, like, it's pretty gruesome and brutal, and no one deserves, you know, should receive that kind of fate.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But no matter how wicked, it's like, man, that's just dark. That's not what God intended, or would have prescribed for his people.
Yeah.
It's just something that happened in the course of real history that we see repeat over and over and over throughout history.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you even look at what's going on in our world today, and from the various, I mean, throughout the world, not just the United States, but you know, we can see that there is, I mean, truly, there is nothing new under the sun, right? There is, and even some of the things that were happening in the Old Testament, for example, I doubt we will ever experience anything like Daniel experienced, where he was put in the lion's den, but then those that opposed were thrown in and killed, and it wasn't just the men, but it was their entire families, and it is dark. But you look at it and you think, wow, our culture, it is not a shock to God, and these are not things that God condones.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a result of a sinful world, and we just have to answer that. How are we going to respond to that? But,
yeah. And there's a lot of evil and violence that we see today. The world has not really become more sophisticated.
No.
You know, I mean, we're watching the war in Ukraine right now, where women and children are being killed,
right,
and are suffering. You know, there's all in the news right now about Roe versus Wade and the, you know, the potential overturning of that and things, which, you know, I think at some point we'll probably address that when it becomes a certain thing, but it's still in process.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Probably too early to really give, you know, some thoughts on there. But, you know, that evil happening, unborn babies being killed. And so our world is just as brutal of a place. Maybe we've done a better job of kind of painting over that and making it, you know, dressing it up to be, you know, we call it reproductive rights instead of murder or whatever. But also realizing that in all of these things there's grace, and you know, God forgives and is working and wants to redeem and restore and even in the darkest of scenarios, which is what we see through the Daniel story.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, no, I'm looking forward to just as we look at the next 2 weeks of this, and kind of one of the things you're talking about. So each of the small group leaders had a chance to grab a little book called How to Walk into Church. And as we think about just that picture of where our world is, and how we go about our purposes when we come to church on a Sunday morning, but also just how we interact with each other as believers, there is such a need for that picture of grace, that picture of mercy and love that God has shown us, that we need to make sure that we're showing to others. So if you haven't read that book or haven't picked one up, I have a few copies left in my office, and they are free. So once they're gone, they're gone. But if you would like a copy of that, stop by the office, and I'll get you one.
Great. And we'll put a link to the show in the show notes to that as well.
Yeah.
But a couple free copies left, so
get
them while you can.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right. So we're... since you're going to be gone in Uganda, we're going to kind of hit 2 of our monthly segments today. And so the first, talking about our monthly missions moment. And so this month we're focusing on the Building Believers, Building Community, our giving campaign, specifically the YAC Center, the Youth and Community Center. And so maybe you can give just as a, I mean, you've been in all the planning meetings, but even as a former youth pastor, what is the big push And why is it that this is a desire of us to say, we want to focus on getting a building and a place for our youth?
Yeah.
Why is that so important?
Yeah. Well, first, it's, you know, we've nicknamed it so far the Yak Center, mm-hmm. Youth and Community Center. And I think it's important to realize that the primary use of this facility will be our youth ministries. But it also gives us just additional space for continuing ministry, you know, that to all ages.
Yeah.
And so whether that be, you know, a space for Bible studies or smaller receptions, there will be a smaller kitchen mm-hmm. attached there, you know, or, you know, whatever. We're outside community groups needing a space
yeah.
on particular days. We want to make continue to make our facilities conducive to all kinds of different ministries in different areas. And our fellowship hall, which, you know, if you need a kitchen or if you need any sort of space that's larger than a classroom, our fellowship hall gets tasked for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we are constantly in a shuffle of, you know,
yeah.
okay, David's in here on these nights, but then we've got Village Missions coming in for this, and then we've got this reception for this event here, and yeah. then we've got, you know, this group that's coming in to do a dinner here, and, you know, so-and-so's small group is meeting on this date for an end of the year part, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it just becomes this massive juggling thing, you know, of, you know, how are we going to use this space? And that's becoming more and more now that we don't have any sort of dedicated youth space.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's important. But it's also, I think, important as, you know, a former youth pastor that our students feel like they belong in this church
mm-hmm.
And that this church knows them, values them. And part of that is having dedicated space for them.
Right.
And so while this will be a multi-use facility, it'll be primarily a youth facility. Mm-hmm. And so being designed that way, because we have the main worship space, we've got, you know, that adults, you know, spend most of their time in.
Mm-hmm.
We have the, you know, the classrooms that we have adult Sunday school in, or we've got a lot of kids.
Yeah.
classes
right.
that the preschool uses, that our kindergarten uses, that our, you know, Sunday morning kids ministry uses. Mm-hmm. There's yeah. the shared space of the fellowship hall.
Yeah.
Right now, all the youth have is the shared space of the fellowship hall.
Right. Yeah.
And as we have some overlap, at times they have to get bumped out of what is right now their space. And
yeah.
so to really show value to the next generation, you know, those we are showing that to kid nursery mm-hmm. and kids. We built a brand new nursery. We have nice spaces for our preschool kindergarten.
Yeah.
We have really adequate to nice classrooms for our kids ministry. It's time that we pony up and give our youth
yeah.
their a nice space that's their own,
yeah.
that's big enough to lead to growth. And our youth house was not that,
no.
which is why it's no longer here.
It's no longer there, yeah.
And you know, ever since I've been here, and that's 15 and a half years now,
yeah.
There has not been a nice and new dedicated space for youth.
Yeah.
And it's time,
yeah,
I think it's time.
Yeah, so some of the things that, and we're going to give an update on Sunday, on the 22nd, to talk just very briefly about this in greater detail, but I know our council has continued to work on and look at ways to be able to build a building that is less expensive, but still will meet the needs, and be able to maintain the same floor plan. And so we've
done some great work
yeah.
at what I've seen, the projections reducing that cost.
Oh, yes.
by a few $100,000.
Exactly. And depending on, you know, just depending, again, it depends on what we're able to do as a church body. But yes, reducing it significantly from that $800,000 or $1 million mark. And of course, you know,
I think the first quote was 1.2, wasn't it?
1.2.
And so reducing
yeah.
it. What below the 1 million mark, but then hopefully shaving off even more
off of that. So some of the things that, and I guess just one thing that I want to address, I've had people that have said this really isn't the time to be building a building, and I would say you're right, and that's why we haven't started building a building, just because
right.
of the overall cost. And so that is something that we're very aware of, and that's why we have started the giving campaign, so that when we have the funds available, And even if building costs were low, we're still not there. Right. We're still not in a position to build because we haven't had the money come in yet. So those are all things that we are consistent about. The council has made the decision from even the first building, the first phase in the nursery, is that we will never put ourselves in a position where we're going into debt and not have a direction and a, you know, based on pledges coming in to be able to pay any sort of funds for that. So a lot of stuff going on. And so first, I would say, let's, if you're not prayerfully being a part of this next phase, then make it a matter of prayer. One, just asking God to work in a great way. But two, if you're not giving, this is a great way to invest in our youth, invest in even in our elementary kids now, because it's only going to be a few short years and they're going to be right there. So
And our youth ministry is growing.
Oh my goodness,
more kids are coming. My daughter is now in youth group, and so I get to see firsthand what they're doing and the ministry and the impact in these kids. And you know, as we even think about, I know there's a lot of talk about those trigger words of CRT or you know, the LGBTQ stuff or the, you know, all the gender talk and all of that that's out there. And, you know, we got to do something about this, you know, because it's affecting our kids. Well, yes, this is something we're giving a space where God's word, where the gospel is being faithfully and boldly proclaimed to students who are being affected most by these things. Yep. And where relationships are being built with young adults and middle-aged adults who are investing in these kids and students.
Right.
So I don't think there's any better way of addressing what's going on in our culture than faithfully proclaiming the gospel and building biblical-based relationships with our teens and our students. That's going to pay huge dividends down the road. And so, you know, I know a lot of people are very concerned about this. Our church has an incredible ministry to this age group, and we can make it even better and more effective by giving them a dedicated space.
Yeah, I agree.
And, I mean, to the point of it's not a great time to build, I love what you said is we're not building. We're raising funds. We're preparing to build. We're doing a lot of prep work. The parking lot is getting us closer, removing the playground. That's clearing a spot that will be where partially where that building goes.
Yep.
The new playground, we've taken a lot of steps to get us closer, doing what we can with what the money that we already have given, not going into any sort of debt for any of those projects yet. So, you know, we're getting, and then when, you know, it's never we start the capital campaign and we build the next month. It's always months and months down the road of, you know, even when we have the funds raised, then it goes through the planning and the, you know, refining the plans and, you know, all of the art, you know, working with the architects and designers. And so we're simply doing the prep work and waiting for that moment when what we've raised and what building costs are match and then we can break ground. And I don't know if there's ever a great time to build.
No.
When the economy's great, it's you can't hire anyone because they're building stuff everywhere.
Exactly.
When costs are up and whatever, it's easier to find a contractor, but it's harder to get the materials. And, you know, if you're going to say, well, this just wait a few years, it's not going to be a great time then either. So
Yeah, there's always going to be a reason. So Now, but looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with that. And if you are someone who's listening to this and you have committed to pray and you've committed to give, thank you. And just encourage you to keep on with that.
And if you can't give, praying helps. You know, there are going to be things coming up where we'll need people involved in different areas, whether you have, you know, certain skills or, I mean, last time we had, you know, people baking, you know, cookies and things and bringing them to construction workers or holding drywall while others are screwing it in or, you know, so there'll be ways to invest in this, even if you can't financially. However, right now, the biggest thing we need is the finances to really start moving this forward.
Yep, absolutely.
So, but yeah, great missions opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, so the final segment of the month, which we won't be recording in a couple weeks because we're going to take a couple weeks off for the Uganda trip, but it's one of our favorites. It's Love It or Hate It. So I've got a both and this month. I love and hate travel. Travel. So I love visiting new places like South Carolina. Excited to visit Uganda.
Yeah.
Meeting new people, seeing sights, eating new foods. Got some incredible. We got to eat at. I'll talk about this probably on our pastor's palate when I get back. But One Hot Mama's Barbecue.
One Hot Mama's Barbecue.
You know when names like that in the South, it's just got to be good, right. and it was. So you know, love all that. Grateful for technology. For you know, I remember. Years ago when we went to Disney World flying to Florida, I got an MP3 player that had like an inch screen. It was just very small.
Right.
And I watched a couple movies on that. Now I've got, you know, my iPad and I think I have like 12 to 15 movies downloaded on that now. Right. So I'm ready for the 10-hour flight to Amsterdam. And I don't even know how long it is from Amsterdam to Uganda. But grateful for that. But even with all that, I hate plane flights.
Yeah.
It's just not fun anymore.
Right.
Everything, your whole body hurts when you get off.
You're cramped in there.
Oh, it's terrible. Airports, do not like airports, and you spend way too much time in airports. Jet lag.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder.
Yeah, it takes it out of
you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then leaving, like for this trip, leaving my family for 2.5 weeks. So
yeah, that's tough.
So I hate that part of travel, but love visiting new places and getting that new stamp in my passport.
There you go.
Taking pictures.
Technology-wise, you'll be able to probably FaceTime.
Yep. I'm trying to work out right now with Verizon International. I think it looks like I can get like a month or something international plan. Cool. So, and I think what I've heard, I'm actually going to meet with Tom Gilson right after this because of their multiple trips to South Africa.
Yeah.
He said he has some tips for me, tips and tricks of travel. So that'll be good. But good. I've heard WhatsApp is the main platform for video calling and texting and stuff.
Yeah, I've used that a couple times. It seems to be good.
Yeah, so. it's what is used around the world. Okay, so
nice.
I don't know.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Also owned by Meta. Yeah. I think.
Who owns everything? Who owns technology wise now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mine, I also have a love and a hate.
All right.
So I couldn't think of a word. So, because we really didn't have a vacation, it was so quickcation.
Quickcation.
I went on a quickcation. And what I love about...
Different than a staycation.
Different than a staycation.
Not quite a vacation.
Right. So, away, but just a quick...
Because you were how many nights away?
One night.
One night away.
Two days, one night.
There we go. That would definitely be a quickcation.
Yeah. So, the love was just the time away. And with a quickcation, there's minimal prep. You just throw your stuff in a backpack and you head out.
That's
so
true.
That was really nice. There's really not time to plan anything, and so I'm a planner, but it was like we don't have a lot of time, so we're just gonna go. We're just gonna roll with it, and when we're hungry, we'll stop and eat as we're traveling down the highway, and that worked out.
It's got to be rough going in though.
It was. See, it fits Jen just fine. Me, it was a challenge. But you know what? At the end of it, I look back and go, yeah, it was kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah. I know not everyone listening to this is an Enneagram person, but that does come out in the Enneagram.
Yes,
you got the planners and you got the non-planners. Yeah. And
yeah, so while it seemed to be just rolling with the flow,
you had the plan.
I really had a plan going on. Like,
of course you did.
Of course I did. Like if this doesn't work out, I know where I'm headed. Yeah.
Yep.
But the hating side of the quickcation is you just leave wanting more because it's like it's not enough.
Yeah.
And the day we left the coast, it was nice. It was clear. The hotel that we stayed in. Has a nice open balcony, sliding door with a fireplace and
cool breeze coming through.
Yeah, slept with the door open all night.
There's nothing like it.
It was really good, and I hated to leave. So.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But with that, it's always better coming home wanting more than I can't wait to get home.
That's right. Like this was way too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was good.
I have a feeling I'm going to be coming back from Uganda. I cannot wait to get home.
That's right. So. I want my bed.
Right.
Yeah. So, it was good. So
I want pizza.
Yeah. Okay, I have to tell you, just real quick, disappointment.
Oh.
Yeah. So, the day we're recording this is actually our anniversary.
Happy 25th. Silver. Not oak.
Not oak yet. So, we were just going to, because we spent the weekend away, we were going to go to Geppetto's tonight and get some deep dish pizza and actually bring it back, eat it with the kids. Geppetto's has decided that Tuesdays, they won't be open.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Tuesdays?
I was going to call and get a pizza ordered and ready to go.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, I'm like, of all
Tuesdays.
Really, Tuesday. So you had
crazy.
I had my heart set on some deep dish pizza. Mm. Not happening.
Not
tonight.
Happening. Oh.
No.
That is heartbreaking.
And you just can't go to Poppy Murphy's after you. If you've had Geppetto's pizza, deep dish pizza. Yeah.
It's true.
There's just no going back.
It's true. I would recommend. It's not deep dish.
Okay.
But Yeasty Beastie.
Yeah.
It makes a great thin crust. Chewy. Crunchy, yeasty.
They do. Yeah.
I'm guessing beer batter crust. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It is good pizza. It really is good pizza. Had we not just been to the coast, I'd be thinking, I'm heading to Gallucci's.
Gallucci's, that's Lincoln great City too. Tonight, yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. So
it's true.
I'm not sure what I'm doing for dinner, but I will figure out something for Silver.
For Silver. There you go.
I've got to do something.
Now. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Right. Are you into fish?
Yeah.
McGrath's, we went there for Amy's birthday.
McGrath's is good.
Is really good right down there on Center Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Near the mall.
Had some good fish this weekend, so.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I might hold off on.
Yeah. So did I. Hudson's by the bay, or Hudson's on the dock.
Ooh.
Hudson's on the dock. They had a key lime pie. Man, we're getting into the pastor's palate.
I know.
We can't help it. Key lime pie that was the home recipe of this woman, I don't remember her name, but she, like, for 50 years would come into Hudson's on the dock and make her key lime pie, and she passed away this last year.
Yeah,
it was like a pucker up, sour but then sweet key lime pie.
Yeah,
awesome, phenomenal, perfect texture.
Yeah,
perfect flavor. Yeah. It was so good.
Pastor Ryan is salivating.
He is.
I'm sure as he's
Ryan
to
is
this.
A big key lime.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he's a key lime pie guy.
There you go.
Never know it, but there you go. But yeah, I had stuffed shrimp, blackened stuffed shrimp.
Stuffed shrimp.
Oh. And it was shrimp season.
I didn't know there was a
this
thing.
Place has their own fishing boat. They go out and source their fish fresh in the bay in South Carolina every day.
All right.
And they were massive shrimp. Then they were stuffed with like a crab meat.
Yeah.
And then blackened.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
That.
Unreal.
That sounds
unreal.
Delicious.
Okay, that's enough food talk for now. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Weekend Debrief. We'll be off until June 9th will be our next posted episode. We'll have lots to talk about, I'm sure, between now and then. So
there we go.
Have a great rest of your week, and I won't see you Sunday, but
I'll see you Sunday.
Wes will see the rest of you on Sunday. Have a great rest of your... I already said that. See you later.
See ya.